I'm Vince Kelvin. Welcome to another EC20 Decade of Dreams podcast in preparation to the Elite Convention and gathering with all of my top colleagues and friends from all around the world. And today, as we are focused on creating lasting success, it's essential to make sure that you address all aspects of your life. There's plenty of people, maybe they get pretty fit and healthy, but it will take money to do that, or time. And if you're not self-employed, then it might limit your growth in other areas. So we're here with a man who's made more employers, and entrepreneurs. So without any further ado, I'm here with Joe Nicasio. How are you, Joe?
I am blessed to be in your presence. And I just want to thank you for, this idea of evolution of consciousness. We need to evolve our consciousness around money. I was just having a conversation the other day with somebody who was telling me research has shown that if you're a public speaker and the number one topic that will get people to glaze over and disconnect from the conversation is money. And so I am just blessed and thank you for the opportunity where we can actually talk to people and say, look, when you hear about money, do you gloss it over? Do you like set it aside? Or are you ready to feel comfortable having those conversations around money? And I think that's the first place you talk about entrepreneurship in the next 10 years is we need to stop running away from the money conversations and start mastering it, owning it, and feeling good about it.
Wow. You know, it's funny because I also read yesterday from Garrett White from Wake Up Warrior, the tendency, especially for men, that they have to not even dare to look at the bank account, even though they should be looking because they don't want to see what they would see. So, and yes, evolution of consciousness. It's easy to think that pushing harder is going to do it, but we only have 24 hours a day. So, it requires, as Einstein said, to tap into a higher level of consciousness. Joe, this is a big question, deep question, probably one that many want to avoid also, but what do you think is the future of entrepreneurship in the next decade? Because an entrepreneur would think at least 10 years at a time, so what do you think? What shifts? What can people expect? How should they prepare? What can they do at the level of being entrepreneurs in the next 10 years?
Well, let me just take 30 seconds and go. The past of entrepreneurship is where it is today is a lot of people, that, on the one hand, they want to be an entrepreneur, and yet they have this fear of failure. And those two things don't mix very well together, like oil and water. I want to have my own business, but it scares the crap of me, so therefore I don't do it. So as we move forward, it's like I want to be an entrepreneur, and I'm fearless. I'm not ashamed. I know with 100% confidence I can make somebody else's life better. I can make their business better. I can make their relationships better. And those are the things that, of course, if I make your life better, I will receive money. Okay, so as we move forward, the entrepreneur of the past is that person that, yes, I want to make money, but I've got these fears, and the entrepreneur of the future is somebody who wants to have a business, wants to make money, and does it fearlessly and shamelessly, knowing I am here to make a huge, massive impact on the lives of my clients, and they pay me generously, and there's no shame around that.
Joe, on the other hand, I've been an entrepreneur, a very eccentric one because I owned a tattoo store. I was a musician, a music school, and then a hypnotherapy center, and now the coaching of men in general. Many have approached me in the past 2.5 decades with an idea. I remember there was this guy who approached me in the early days of live streams. It was still not fully functional, but he got excited, and we did one streaming, and he thought that that was going to be the biggest hit ever. So I'm leading towards, I've witnessed so many think that it's going to happen in just one shot. They get impatient, and it goes nowhere. So I think that especially in this day and age of we bring you the food at home, we come pick you up, we you don't even go to the movie theater anymore. You know, new movie just came out. It's straight on Netflix and in theater, option of both. So what recommendations do you have to make sure that impatience, which I think, and I'm curious also about your take on it, I think it's the number one killer of dream. Those who find it in themselves to follow through, they're going to get too impatient too soon. What do you think of that?
Yeah, and you know, I think that a lot of our frustrations come from unfulfilled expectations. You know, I'm going to start this business and I'm going to make 10 grand a month and it's going to be all great. Well, you know, so you go out and you tell 20 people, I'm going to do this thing. And then that impatience starts coming when, you know, I'm doing what, you know, there was a book written in the 70s called Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow. Chapter 7 of that book is, okay, I'm doing what I love, but where's the money, you know? And so we need to connect all the dots. And if we, there's a Buddhist saying that infinite patience creates instant results. Infinite patience creates instant results. And everything in life is a process. You know, I'm more than anything, I am a mechanic. I look at business like it's a machine. And so when somebody's saying, well, I'm doing this stuff and I'm impatient and I'm not getting the results on the other side, there are no broken people. There is only broken process. Let me say that again because it's huge. There are no broken people. There's only a broken process. And so if you're sitting there saying, well, I'm doing this, but I'm not getting the result, you know, you can keep doing the process ineffectively and still not get the result. One of the most difficult lessons I had to learn as a business coach is to learn how to invalidate a process without invalidating the human being. Like, there's nothing wrong with you as a human being, but you're doing some things wrong. But when we fix the process, when we make sure that the machine works, then we get the results on the other side, and it's very predictable. And so a lot of our impatience is a human emotion that's a frustration that's built around my machine isn't working. But you know what? If your machine is working, you get the results. You put the right inputs in, you get the right outputs out, you feel really good, and it works, and there's no impatience because I'm doing the thing and I'm having the power. But if you're doing the thing, but you're doing it in a process that's ineffective, you're gonna feel a lot of frustration about not getting the results. And so a lot of times we have this self-deprecation. Well, I'm doing this stuff and it's not working, therefore I'm a failure. Well, you're doing some stuff. Let's look at that stuff so that we can make sure that the stuff you're doing is effective. Because we shouldn't confuse activity with effectiveness. You know, we can be, a lot of people are busy, 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 but they're doing figure eights instead of really taking the right actions. And when you're taking the right actions, you're going to get the right results. And then you get all the good feelings about, I'm doing, you know, my machine's working. And then once your machine's working, it's how can we make that machine work even better? And that's really the basis of my work, is to look at people that are, you know, they're putting efforts in, they're frustrated, they're feeling impatient, I'm not getting the results. It's like, well, let's take the emotion out of this and let's look at the machine, what's working, what's not working, and let's fix what's broken. And when everything's fixed, when everything's working, everything flows. And so a lot of our impatience is really rooted in the fact that there's a refinement in our process that's missing, and we're not even looking in the right places.
And Joe, I want to hear your take on the fact that oftentimes something is broken at the level of the mindset. because there's an easy tendency to be under the impression that the way we're doing it or the idea that we have is perfect as is, when in fact it's a process that requires constant refinement, growth, evolution, and so on. So what's your take on that? I bet you see many people that are in the frustration phase, yet still in denial that they could optimize the machine, as you call it.
Yeah, you know, your ego is not your amigo. You know, it just because I don't, you know, it's not working. What happens is we say it's not working, and then our mindset gets jacked up. You know, we're not thinking clearly. And, you know, there was a great book back in the day. I took it in a philosophy class called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. And, you know, every instruction, you know, you go to IKEA and you buy some furniture, it says some assembly required. And there's a set of instructions, step one, step two, step three. And in this book, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, it says every instruction manual is missing the true first step. And the true first step is be of serene mind. If you try and assemble that piece of furniture and you got a noisy, cluttered mind, you are not going to be very effective at assembling that piece of furniture. So before we do anything, whether it's in our business, we need to calm our mind so we can actually see things clearly. We need to turn the noise down so that we can be present to actually solving the problems. You know, I used to go to trade shows with Jason Chase, one of my clients, who's a massage therapist, you know, I would talk to somebody and they were completely stressed about their business, and I'm like, I can't talk to this person while they're stressed. Jason, can you give them like a 15-minute massage so that they can quiet their mind enough so we can actually have a conversation? And that is important. Mindset is important, and your mindset will sabotage you, but mindset alone isn't enough. There's actually 9 drivers to making a business work. You have to have the right mindset. You need to have the right marketing. You need to have the right distribution channel. You need to have the right relationships and say it's not what you know, but who you know. You know, you need to have the right strategies and tactics. It's good if you have systems and procedures. You need all these pieces. And yet, if you can have all of those pieces together, but if your mindset is sabotaging you, you're going to be like really ineffective. So the first thing is to go in with a clear mind, so you can actually, you know, take the right actions and start getting the right results. So, and that I spend a lot of time working with clients to get them to reprogram their beliefs so they can have a more empowered belief around money and business and prospering as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as somebody that, because look, we have the ability to be a massive contribution to other human beings. And at the same time, we need to organize it in such a way that that massive contribution gets compensated. You know, if you're giving with the right hand, you're receiving with the left hand. And so many of us have learned to give and not learned to receive. And the center point between giving and receiving is your mind. It is your mentality. It is your ideology and your operating system. And if you're operating from a superior operating system, you can create superior cash flow and superior success. And you can have all the conditions in place, but if you're operating like an early version of DOS versus the latest version of Catalina, you know, operating system, if your operating system is off, your results are going to be off. Let's upgrade your operating system. Let's upgrade your thinking so that everything flows.
Joe, what is the biggest difference between the employee's mindset and the entrepreneur's mindset?
Well, there's a bunch of pieces, but first of all, I believe everybody is self-employed. You know, if you've got a business and you've got 100 customers and you lose one, you're self-employed with 99 customers. If you are an employee, you're self-employed with one customer called your employer. And even if you're unemployed, you're self-employed with no customers. So we're all self-employed. The difference between the employee and the entrepreneur is the entrepreneur owns it. It's like, yeah, I am trading my time, my energy, my value, my expertise, my money. I'm trading money for money, ideas for money, time for money. I'm using team for money. And so the entrepreneur realizes that I am in the business of creating customers, and the employee doesn't realize that. The employee gets one customer, and then they get lazy. Okay, I got hired one time. Now this is going to take care of me for the next 40 hours, for the next, you know, for the next 12 months, year, 5 years. So they make one sale to an employer, and then they stop making sales. Where the entrepreneur says, oh, I could have 100 customers. I could have 1,000 customers. How can I serve people? How can I stop trading time for money? Employees trade time for money. And as the great Jim Rohn said, time is more valuable than money because you can always get more money. You can't get more time. Life is very short, like the Beatles song. So employees trade time for money, and entrepreneurs are looking for ways to leverage their time, leverage their efforts. How can I deliver value to a customer without it being all about me and my time? How can I give that value independent of my time? Entrepreneurs are value creators. You know, we need to ask ourselves, what is value? Value is the ability to make somebody else's life better. How can I organize my time, my effort, my energy, all of the resources of the universe? How can I organize everything that God or universe, you know, we need to raise our consciousness. And what entrepreneurs are saying, how can I take all of what's available to me, how can I organize it to do one thing powerfully so I can gain everything I want by giving so much? My mentor, Jay Abraham, one of the things he teaches is capital isn't just cash. You know, we've heard the saying of other people's money, there's other people's time, but you can really expand this concept of other people's factories, other people's employees, other people's imaginations, other people's brains. True entrepreneurs, okay, we'll call it level one entrepreneurs and evolution of consciousness entrepreneurs. Level one entrepreneurs are, if it is to be, it's up to me. How can I do things better? But the true level two entrepreneur says, my success depends on the support of others. My success is tapping into all the power of the universe. The level one entrepreneur says, I'm the wizard. Level two entrepreneur says, I'm the wizard amongst other wizards, and I can bring the resources of all this magic together. So it's not just me on the table. Level two entrepreneurship, evolution of consciousness entrepreneurship, is where you elevate yourself not just to be the wizard, but to be the wizard amongst other wizards and to establish more of a leadership role versus an ego or identity role.
As an entrepreneur, I can say also that it's imperative to constantly continue to grow, to learn, to evolve, because left on our own, we're prone to, you know, after a while get comfortable and not foresee changes and so on. So what recommendations would you have for, let's say, somebody that's listening right now and, you know, they've been established? I have come across men who would have 2, 3, 4, 5 decades of fair success and witness them kind of come short a little bit because they're under the impression that they already know. But we also know the true champion knows that he never really knows. So let's say I have one final question after that, but maybe let's do that three-third recommendation. I described three positions in life and a recommendation for each one, because I think that would be very valuable for our listeners. First one, under the impression that their job sucks, fantasizes a little bit about something better, wrestling with, okay, I worked all day long, even going to the gym or going talking to girls seems like it's difficult because I'm just exhausted from my work. And I would love to, but I really feel helpless and hopeless. First one. Mm-hmm. And then I'll give them to you one by one. What about that first one?
Yeah, you know, it's if you want things to get better. You have to get better. It's very easy to slip into a comfort zone. It's very easy to say, I got a job. It pays me money. I'm okay. If you want to get to that next level, you got to have that, you know, Les Brown says, you got to be hungry. You know, if nothing changes, nothing changes. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you get. And so if you are happy doing what you're doing, then quit your fucking complaining and just be happy doing what you're doing. But if you say, you know, I want to do something else, but you're not taking the action, then you are complicit in your own self-sabotage. So the first step is, if you want to go to that next level, get some help. You know, build your burning desire and recognize that you don't have all the answers. You know, here's a Joe Nicasio original quotation. We are tattooed in our cradles with the beliefs of our tribe, okay? And if you were tattooed in your cradle, everybody listening to this was tattooed in their cradle with beliefs around money and business. And a lot of the tattoo and impression that we've received is go to school, get an education, and get a job. And if that's what your tribe taught you, you can't keep going back to that tribe to get the answers to starting a business if your entire tribe was about being an employee. So we are tattooed in our cradles with the beliefs of our tribe. And if your tribe's beliefs do not support you being a successful entrepreneur, then you need to leave the tribe and seek out people who are dedicated their lives to helping people exactly like you. And I just happen to be one of them. So don't think that, you know, why is it that we look at our money map? Where did we learn money from? Did we learn money from entrepreneurs or employees? Did we learn money from people who are doing an amazing job with money? Or did, you know, we get bad advice from our friends, our family, our parents? Our parents are very well-intentioned. But, you know, even though our parents were well-intentioned, they taught us to go to school, get a good education, and be somebody else's bitch. And we need to put a big question on, like, is there really wisdom in going to school and getting an education and being someone else's bitch? And we need to just recognize that programming in the past doesn't serve us. So we need to get some new programming that says that I'm not somebody else's bitch. I am taking charge of my destiny, and I'm going to do it myself. And I'm going to find those people that can teach me, even though the people that got me here, you know, the beliefs that got me to this point are not the beliefs that are going to get me to that new level of starting that business. And so we need to seek knowledge, wisdom, information to make sure that we make that transition from employee to entrepreneur. We need to do that by getting the right information. And unfortunately, most of us never got that.
Joe, I am noticing how we could take one sentence. You've shared so many gold. I don't like to call them gold nugget. Other people say, oh, that was a good gold nugget. No. That's beyond that. That's a gold mine. That's a map to a gold mine. It's easy also to just not really hear it. And I think that middle category, those you know, they're okay, you're starting, you got your business, you got some education and so on. The next level there would be to know that, for me, honestly, let's say I didn't know you, and I hear this podcast, that sentence with the tattoo with the tribe, pretty much every single sentence that you said, I could take that and work magic with it. But it's easy for people to don't hear it, to not hear it. So what will help one to, how would you treat it? For example, when you come across priceless information, how do you personally treat it so the value is there?
Oh, well, you know, there's Lao Tzu, the ancient philosopher, said, to know and not to do is not to know. And just because you've received the information, if you don't act on it, if you don't implement it, it's gonna fade away and into nothingness. And so the first thing I do, my habit is when I'm learning stuff, I'm sitting in a seminar, I'm sitting with a master that I'm learning from, I'm taking notes, And then I'm thinking to myself, how can I put this into action? How can I apply this? Now, a lot of people, and I learned this from Jay Abraham, is they'll say, well, okay, that doesn't apply to me. You want to use a what if? Well, what if it did apply to me? What if I could tap into this? What if I can't directly use it? What if I could indirectly use it? Or what if I could use some implications from it? So the one thing is, if you're learning something, don't stop at just an intellectual understanding, but start saying, how can I implement? What are the action steps I can take? And how can I embody this into my process? How can I use this knowledge and build a better process? How can I use this knowledge and build that better business? And that's a missing piece, is we go to seminars and we learn from people. We take all these notes and fill up our notebooks, and we got a closet full of notebooks with, you know, 1% implementation. And so, like I said earlier in this conversation, there is no such thing as a defective person. There's only a defective process. And the first thing you can do is, when you go to a seminar and you spend 2 or 3 days with a master, when you get a coach like me and you spend coaching sessions, the number one thing you want to ask yourself is, how can I put this into action? Not only how can I put it into action for one day, but how can I integrate this into my process of how I operate and do things? It'll change the world for you. Learning and not acting won't do much for you, but learning and making it part of your process will change you forever for the better.
Being in touch also with the fact that it's a necessity. You know, necessity is an interesting scale. And I think that if we took a person who would be reduced to just, you have one chance, one final chance, and maybe we took somebody who was convicted for life and we said, you go to this seminar and you really pay attention, now we may grant you a pardon. Or you go, you know, somebody would have a loved one that's very ill. We say, you really learn this right now, and maybe they'll be okay. So we got to remember that if when the leverage is there, the retention is automatic. The implementation is automatic. So, Joe, I have one final question for you, and I will simply state that Joe will be part of the incredible lineup. People have nicknamed us the Avengers, and I think that those who come are also Avengers, meaning
yes.
It takes, I feel like you were talking about a tribe. So we have this tribe that has been gathering once to twice a year, and we're about to do it right between Christmas and the New Year. People can watch from home also, where as we gather, it's called EC20, we optimize all aspects of life, acceleration, evolution, exposure to like-minded people. And, you know, I'm simply going to say this. If you want to look at it, click on the link that's in the description of this podcast, because it's elite edition, meaning we only take about 30 guys and ladies, and we're reaching about halfway of that. So I don't know, by the time you listen, there might be a few lesser spots, but you know, it's an event, we call it Elite, because we want to make sure that it's a gathering of those who are most decisive. So I'll keep it simple to that, and I'll pass it to you, Joe. Can't wait to hear what you're going to share over there. This was priceless. What are you going to do differently yourself at a personal level in the new decade?
Well, I want to impact more people, you know, and honestly, for the longest time, my greatest thrill is I wish I could be more money motivated. What really motivates me is the ability to transform another human being's life. I would do this shit for free if I could, you know. I love, like, helping people be entrepreneurs. And so in the next decade, I want to impact more people. Instead of working with, you know, 20, 30, 40 guys a year, I want to, you know, my goal for 2020 is to help a minimum of 100 people either start a business from scratch or take their existing business and take it to another level or another level beyond that. And as I get through 2020 and we look into the whole decade, I just want to impact thousands and thousands of people. I want to make a difference. I want to liberate people from their soul-sucking job, and I want people to, the problem in America and in the world is too many people. It's not an unemployment problem, it's an underemployment problem. Most jobs do not give us the platform for us to work our true magic. You're somebody in your platform, Vince, that you're working your true magic. Eric Von Sydow, Hypnotica, he's working his magic. I'm working my magic. And I look at people that have a job and they're using a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of their magic, their gifts from God, their divinity. And so as I help more people become entrepreneurs and succeed, it's really about how can I help more people unleash their gifts into the world instead of putting themselves in a scenario where their gifts are dormant, their dreams are dormant and collecting dust and collecting cobwebs. So for me, a lot of people have that dream of starting a business and it's been set to the side. It is collecting dust. It is collecting cobwebs. And in the next decade, my goal is to help thousands and thousands of people dust off those dreams and make those dreams come alive so they can contribute their magic, not in some small way, in a big way. I am unleashing people. I'm not the king. I'm the king maker. And I want to help more men become kings in this domain called entrepreneurship. I want to help more people move from dormant to dominating. I help people go from confusion to cash in a dash. But it's really not about the money. It's about everybody is a child of God. Everybody has magic. Everybody has something in them. And yet, not everybody is playing the game where their gifts are being shared with the world. And my goal is to help people unleash those gifts and make their imprint, make their impact, make their influence, and help them have a legacy that's much greater than the current path so many people are on by being somebody else's bitch.
Joe Nicasio, thank you so much. That's the beginning of the difference in the new decade and going for your dreams. So Joe will be back for a Zoom video interview, and then you can meet all of us. Click on the link. Joe, what's a link that they could use to also check out your stuff?
EmployeeEscapePlan.com. That's EmployeeEscapePlan.com. PLAN.com, EmployeeEscapePlan.com. And there's a schedule link. If you want to talk with me, just let's get on the phone and see if we can help each other.
Got it. Maybe, Joe, you can quickly send me that link so I'll include it in the description. So if you're listening, then the link is already included in the description. Okay. So, Joe, thank you for the time and a level of universal inspiration. So, always a pleasure, and I can't wait to soon see you for EC20. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you. All right. Bye.